Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, April 20th, the year of our Lord, 2025. And this is Easter Sunday. This is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Blessings to you. It is a joy to welcome you here to the podcast on this holiest of holy days, this great feast and celebration. Death is defeated. Sin is overcome. Christ is King. So on this wonderful day, let's do what we do here at the podcast. We celebrate life by taking in the breath of life, the gift of life. Let's do that together. Draw in a big breath and hold on to it. Savor it. It's a gift from God. Life in the here and now, and life eternal. And as you breathe, I pray that you'll call to mind the people and the places, the situations and opportunities that fill you with hope and peace and love and joy. It's all a gift. It's all a gift given by our Creator. Perhaps turn your face toward the sky, open your arms out wide in celebration. And in this spirit, in this posture, let's begin together in worship. And so let's join together in the call to worship. As printed in the digital bulletin, you can find that bulletin to the left of where you found today's podcast, just below the line where it says sermon notes. Click in there and the bulletin will come up for you. Let's begin. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Out of the darkness of grief and despair comes a message of hope. Christ lives. The stone is rolled away. Death has been defeated. Love has won. And God's light shines anew. Let our hearts be lifted and our voices sing praise. Come, people of God, come to the empty tomb. Come and see the risen Christ. We come with joy. We come with hope. We come to worship the risen Lord. Alleluia. Friends, our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. But she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not touch me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God, and we give thanks to God for it. Gracious and merciful God, we call out to you and we give you thanks for this brilliant and wonderful good news, for this, your good and living word. A word that can cast out darkness, a word that inspires us into new life and new hope. And so we pray, dear God, that you would meet us here on this day of resurrection, that you'd fill us to overflowing with hope and peace and love and joy. Fill us with your Holy Spirit as we consider this, your good and living word. We pray, O God, save us from distraction, save us from misinterpretation, so that we could truly hear you and believe. We ask this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Well, here we are, dear friends. We've been through it. We've been through the time in the desert, the season of Lent. We were together for the parade of palms and the shouts of Hosanna. And then, day by day, over the past week, this week we call holy, the shadows got longer and longer. And on Thursday, we remember the story that he washed the feet of the disciples. He broke bread and poured a cup, and he made a new covenant. And he went with his friends into the garden and he prayed. And they couldn't stay awake. And he persevered in loving them. And he was arrested, given a mock trial, and on a Friday afternoon, died on a cross. And before he breathed his last, he quoted from the scriptures that were written on his heart, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words of the psalmist coming from his mouth and ringing out from Golgotha. Some around him mocking, some weeping and wailing and beating their chests. And a few of compassion and decency find a way to take him down, to anoint him and wrap him up and place him in a tomb. And then on Saturday, there's silence. Deafening silence. Silence like the world has never known. Deep and desolate silence. An unspeakable grief. A fear in the hearts of disciples. A fear in the hearts of those who have perpetrated the deed. And then, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene and probably a few other women came to the tomb. They came to the tomb to honor their friend, their rabbi, their beloved Jesus, came to finish the burial rite that had been begun as the sun was setting and the Sabbath was coming. Come with what they needed to begin to try to make sense and start putting pieces together. But as she came to the tomb on that morning, she saw that the stone had been removed. And into the silence became the noise of chaos. How could it be? How could they add insult to my injury? And she was panicked. And she ran back. And she told Simon Peter and the other disciples. One of them, the one who Jesus loved. And she said to them, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him. The disciples don't spend a second thinking about it. They don't question her. They dash to the tomb to verify her story. One outruns the other. The one who was lagging behind, Peter, always the first to step in, steps into the tomb, sees the clear evidence that the Lord is not there. Sees the wrappings lying there. The cloth that had been on his head not lying with the other wrappings. And they looked at each other. And they understood, at least in part, he said this was going to happen, didn't he? We didn't know what he was saying at the time. It didn't make any sense, but here we are. Here are the wrappings. Where is our Lord? And so just as hastily as they had left the house to go to the tomb, they leave the tomb to return home, but Mary remains. Mary is still in her shock. Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and it was no longer empty. When she looked into the tomb, she saw two angels sitting where the body had, where Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. These angels strike up a conversation with her. They ask her a question, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary composes herself and she says to them in response, "They've taken away my Lord and I do not know where they have laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. If you can imagine, she's standing in this darkened cave, looking out at the rising sun. Jesus is backlit. She can't quite make out who it is. She thinks it's a gardener. "They've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." That is what she says. That's what she says to the angels. That's what she says to this gardener figure that she sees. She's still in her confusion. Her eyes are still puffy with tears. And then Jesus said this to her, "Mary." He speaks her name. Because he is her shepherd, and he speaks her name. And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. All she had to do was hear his voice speak her name, and it all came rushing in. "My Jesus, my rabbi." And in the excitement, Jesus knows that her emotions will get the best of her and she will want to run toward him and embrace him like any of us would. Although as I think about it, if my friend had died, if I had watched him being brutally murdered and put into a tomb, and then early in the morning on the first day of the week, I saw him living and speaking to me, I would have thought I'd seen a ghost. I would have perhaps fallen on my knees in fear or fainted. But she hears him speak her name, and she's just filled with love and excitement and overwhelmed with the joy of seeing him. But he says, "You can't hold on to me. This drama is still playing itself out, Mary. I have not yet ascended to the Father, but here are my instructions for you. Go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And that's what she did. She went home and she announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And here, on April 20th, the year of our Lord, 2025, she tells us as well. The day of silence, the great vigil of Easter Saturday, has now broken in to joyful song. He is not here. He is risen. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. And the beautiful, one of the many beauties of this story is it plays itself out every day. It's been said of Good Friday that every day is Good Friday. Every day we can be confronted with suffering and injustice and death. But as people of the resurrection, every day can be Easter as well. Every day can be filled with the hope that Sunday is coming. The sun will come up. That we might expect one thing, but the promises and the surprises of each new day are real, and they are for us. The gospel writers capture this story, all of these stories, so that future generations would be blessed by them and find the same hope in them that they did. That these were stories too great, too powerful, too true to be kept to themselves. And so they took the risk of telling everyone they could tell, eventually writing them down. And just like the Lord himself, the world tried to suppress the gospel, tried to suppress the communities that rose up around the gospel. But the truth of the gospel persevered. Anytime they thought that they had stuffed it into a tomb, it would break free. Anytime they tried to jail or kill a disciple or an apostle, 12 more grew up in their place. That's our legacy. That's our inheritance on this day. And while on this Easter morning you might feel that it feels more like a Good Friday, Easter is coming. Christ is risen. It is the very truth of God and not a made-up story by any man. Written and captured, as John says at the end of his gospel, so that you may come to believe that Jesus is Lord. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. And that is the best of good news. To which I say, Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you O God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of Mary and Joseph and Peter and Paul and John and Matthew and Mark and Luke, God of saints and sinners alike, we come to you on this day and we pray and we say, with a chorus of people throughout time, and with the angels, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Praise be to God. Christ is risen. Lord, our hearts are overflowing. And we pray that you join us in our celebration today. And in the midst of the celebrating, we also are mindful of our own frailties and faults, our sin. And we come to you in this moment and we confess these things, the things that we have done and the things we have left undone, the things we've said and the things that we ought to have said. And we pray, God, that we can claim the promised forgiveness that you offer us, that when we come to you and we're honest about who we are and how we are, when we confess our sin, you forgive us, that a broken spirit and a contrite heart you will not despise. You will love us now and forever. So we claim the promise of our faith that you, O God, are loving and forgiving now and forever. We pray. We pray for the people in positions of power and influence in the world. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Inspire them, we pray. Soften their hearts. Help them to see the possibilities that they have if they lead according to your will and in your way. And for those who feel that they have no power or no influence, remind them, O God, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I pray for each and every one of us, God. I pray that we can have a moment with you to share the prayer lists that we keep, the joys and the concerns of our hearts, the events that are coming, the things that we anticipate with joy, weddings and baptisms and promotions and new starts. But also we know that there are things that have us a bit afraid, things that concern us and grieve us. Each one of us keeps a list of sorts. And so we take a moment, O God, to unwrap these prayer lists, unfold them, and hand them to you so that you would consider them word by word. And we'll make silence space and give you time to consider our prayers and time to just sit and listen for your voice. We break our silence. We thank you, O God, for the gifts of peace and quiet. We thank you for the faithful men and women, generation upon generation, who have saved for us our sacred stories and our songs and our prayers and our rites and our rituals. I thank you. We thank you, O God, for the gift of your church alive in the world. And among this vast inheritance is a prayer that goes by your name. We pray that you hear us as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So, my dear friends, as we prepare to go our separate ways, as you perhaps prepare for your Easter celebration, I pray that you will do so filled with a renewed hope, a renewed joy, a heightened sense of peace and love, because the risen Lord speaks your name and commissions you. Go. Go and tell the others. Go and tell the others that Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. The Son of God is alive. Our God, the God we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, blesses you on this day, blesses you now and forever, and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.